Thanks, Tim. And it's kind of fun. Bintsy and I were joking somewhere recently that in real life we probably should have switched it around on the. I might be a bit more of a TDM skeptic than Bintsy is. I don't know, but let's go through the data. So I'm here to show you some of the data to support why TDM is important when prescribing anti-TNF therapy. So this is a study that's now over 10 years old, and this study showed that if you had a detectable trough level, that a year later you were significantly more likely to be in remission than if you had an undetectable trough level, significantly more likely to have endoscopic improvement of at least 75%, significantly more likely to have a low CRP, significantly more likely to have complete endoscopic remission. So one of the first studies showing the importance of a detectable infliximab trough level. This is a sub-analysis of ACCENT 1, which, if you recall, was the maintenance study for infliximab, and this showed that your week 14 level predicted or at least was associated with your week 54 clinical outcome. So in the first column, you're seeing the patients with low week 14 trough levels. In the second column, high, or at least 3.5 or higher. And you can see that if you achieve that higher level, you were more than twice as likely to have achieved a sustained response than if you had a low level. And so, again, showing this relationship between drug levels and outcomes. And then this is looking at ACT 1 and 2, which were the pivotal trials for infliximab and ulcerative colitis. And you can see that the week 30 levels, if you stratified the response by drug quartiles, by drug concentrations, in general, if you had a higher drug concentration, if you were in a higher quartile, you were more likely to have achieved clinical remission at either week 30 or at week 54. So there's lots of data out there showing from the registration trials that the drug level is important. Then we have the landmark SONIC trial looking at antibody status, and you can see that the patients that were on infliximab monotherapy, 14% of them at week 30 had antibodies to infliximab, whereas only 1% of the patients on combination therapy had antibodies. And then the other point to make about that trial was that the patients on combination therapy had drug levels that were twice as high on average than patients that were on monotherapy. So this is all well and good. The problem is that the link between the actual dose of drug you give and then the drug level is wildly variable because there are all these important variables that influence drug levels, and that includes the use of concomitant immunomodulators, whether or not there are antibodies present, male gender, high CRP, high TNF concentrations. Overweight patients have a faster drug clearance and so therefore have lower levels. And then, of course, the whole hypoalbuminemia, protein-losing colopathy story. Those patients with a severely inflamed colon are actually losing the protein, the infliximab or the adalimumab, in the stool, and their drug levels are going to be lower. This is a study showing the link between the drug level at week 4 after an infusion and whether or not antibodies will be present. So a week 4 infusion a week 4 level of less than 4 increased the likelihood that you were going to develop antibodies. And so this is sort of one of the first data points to suggest, hey, maybe there's some role for proactive drug monitoring. And again, the importance of antibodies to infliximab. This is looking at a meta-analysis using high-level grade methodology over 1,300 patients. And if you had antibodies to infliximab, you were 3 times more likely to lose response to the drug than if you didn't have antibodies to infliximab. This is a study we did out of Mayo looking at a retrospective experience showing that if you had antibodies to infliximab, and this was using the first-generation Prometheus assay, so this was the ELISA, and so it was a drug-intolerant assay, if you will, you could see that if you had detectable antibodies, which meant by definition you had a drug level of zero, that the strategy of increasing infliximab was not successful, whereas changing to a different anti-TNF was. Contrast that to if you had a low level without antibodies, the better strategy was to increase infliximab. And so again, a study showing that TDM actually influenced clinical response because you were better able to optimize the drug and pick the right path. I'm going to switch this in the interest of time. And then I guess there's one area that's been controversial lately is the utility of proactive drug monitoring. And so this is one of the first studies that put this on the radar screen. This is out of Beth Israel, Adam Chaffetz's group. And they retrospectively compared the proactive monitoring strategy to the reactive monitoring strategy. And they found that the patients who proactively had gotten TDM checked early on and then adjusted were much more likely to stay on drug than patients who had this done for loss of response. And so this study came out, and some people latched onto this right away and said, you know, we can manage all of our anti-TNF patients with this. And others of us were more skeptical and said, well, we need more data. This is a retrospective study, a relatively low number of patients. I think it's interesting at DDW this year, Adam and then Byron Vaughn, who was the fellow who was the first author on that study, is now at the University of Minnesota, and then two other centers, Penn and Duke. So four centers, BI, Penn, Duke, University of Minnesota. They combined all their data, so this is a much larger group of patients. It's over 200, I think it's almost 300 patients. And that they actually even use a harder endpoint. They actually compared proactive to reactive with respect to hospitalizations and surgeries. And the numbers are dramatic here. So these are, again, these are people getting week 14 levels and then adjusting. So you're not waiting for symptomatic loss of response. And you can see that the patients with proactive monitoring were significantly less likely to require surgery and significantly less likely to require hospitalization. And so this, to me, this was one of the big eyebrow-raising abstracts of DDW this year. And so I think I'm going to have to change my practice. I hadn't been doing proactive. And this is, I'm probably going to start doing proactive after seeing this study. So the TAXA trial, I'm not going to go into this in detail. It's a complicated trial design. It was probably a flawed study design. There were two parts to the study. The first part was the dose optimization part, and then the second part was to see if you checked levels versus managed them clinically, was there any difference? And so what happened was during that initial drug optimization phase, that's where you saw all the benefit. So the benefit occurred primarily in the Crohn's patients, and you can see there that the percentage of patients in remission went up from 65% to 88% once you optimized the drug. And then the additional benefit after that was hard to show, and so they're really not as clear-cut at that point. So just talk briefly about adalimumab here. This is one of the first studies demonstrating that, again, if you had a detectable adalimumab trough level, in general, you did better than if you didn't have a trough level that was detectable. And then in the same study, looking at antibodies to adalimumab, and again, if you had antibodies to adalimumab, you were much less likely to have detectable adalimumab concentrations in your blood, so that was affecting. So again, all this is evidence sort of accumulating that TDM actually does impact how patients do, and so it probably is useful. This was an interesting study presented at DDW a few years ago, kind of modeled on what we did in the AFIF paper, the retrospective, but this was prospective, and so they set up rules what they were going to do with their adalimumab levels, and what they found here was that, in general, if you had low adalimumab levels and increased the dose, you saw an increase in the clinical remission rates. And conversely, if you had low drug levels and high levels of anti-adalimumab antibodies, you wouldn't necessarily were going to respond to dose escalation. And that could lead to an algorithm that would look like this. If you had high high adalimumab levels in the face of inflammation, maybe it would be time to switch to a different drug, and we'll talk about that, I think, in the discussion, because I think that's where people get confused a lot on. But if you had low levels without antibodies, then increase the dose, and if you had low levels with high antibodies, then switch to another drug. And again, I think the area of TDM that's most confusing is what's the upper limit of that therapeutic level? And bottom line is, if you have an opportunity to dose escalate, in other words, you haven't fully dose escalated and the level comes back, and I always use the example of adalimumab, they're on 40 every other week and their drug level comes back at 8 and they have inflammation, don't stop the drug. Dose escalate. So again, and there's thinking that the proper level for adalimumab is a little bit higher than the proper level for infliximab. So a level of like 8 to 12 is probably more appropriate for adalimumab, whereas maybe for infliximab it's more like 3 to 10. So just keep those numbers in mind. I think the other place where TDM can help is the patient who has arthralgias, who's on an anti-TNF, they develop arthralgias, and you're trying to sort out, is it spondyloarthropathy that's acting up? Is it a delayed hypersensitivity reaction to the drug, or is it a lupus-like phenomenon? And so part of my evaluation of the patient with arthralgias is getting the drug level, the antibodies, and also checking autoantibodies, checking the double-stranded DNA, checking an antihistone antibody. And with that information, you can usually figure out which of these four categories your patient is in. Is it a delayed hypersensitivity? In that case, they're going to have high antibodies, low drug. If it's lupus-like, they're going to have positive autoantibodies. And then if it's just their IBD and the spondyloarthropathy, they're going to have a low drug level, and they're not necessarily, if they have antibodies, they're going to be pretty low. So again, you're going to look at whether the arthralgias are occurring before or after the drug, and then you're going to look at those antibody levels, and that's going to help you sort out. And then, of course, there's the rarer drug-induced lupus that's out there. It's only a couple percent of people are going to develop that. The other area where TDM can help you out is the patient who's been off drug for a long time and you're restarting. And it doesn't help you before the first dose, but after you've given that first dose, checking a level or checking antibodies, say, a week after that can be predictive of whether the patient is going to have an infusion reaction with the second reinfusion. So again, TDM helps. You can measure the drug level. We know that this is associated with more favorable outcomes. The antibodies are associated with less efficacy, and so this can help guide treatment decisions. I think the part that is still a little squirrely is the dose ranges. We don't know the true upper limit of normal of the dose or what is a, quote, supratherapeutic dose. That still needs to be sorted out. This was a nice paper. The Bridge Group, they did a RAND methodology, and they concluded based on the evidence that it was appropriate to perform TDM at the end of induction for primary non-response. Certainly for secondary non-response, I think that's where most of us have used it most often. During maintenance and responding, there might be a role to periodically check it, maybe once every couple years. And then, of course, restarting after a drug holiday. So after the first reinfusion, but before the second. The area where they concluded in this paper where there was some uncertainty was whether or not that proactive TDM, if there was enough data on that. So they said that was a question mark. And then this is sort of looking at the same thing in a slightly different way. This is from a review article that will be published soon. And again, the conclusion of this pretty detailed review was that in most of these indications, it kind of made sense to get TDM, and the area of uncertainty was in that post-induction before maintenance therapy in a patient who seems to be responding. Again, is there a role for that proactive week 14 trough for the infliximab patients? And I think there's still a little uncertainty because it's mostly retrospective data right now. So hopefully I've shown you enough data that convinces you that there's some role for TDM in your treatment of patients. Thanks.